opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Evening, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines. I call USA Inc. Today is Saturday. It is January the 28th in the year that they say is 2017. And we have a broadcast for you for the next 2 hours. Remember, Black Talk Radio Network is our broadcasting platform, which is managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. We do accept donations, so if you think that the world needs the independent black platform that is Black Talk Radio Network, and you support the other work of the Black Talk Media Project, please consider making a donation today. We do have a guest. I don't even know if I should even be referring to Max Parthas as a guest because he's a family member. So, I mean, this is his network home as much as it is mine. So we do have Max Parthas, an abolitionist, spoken word artist, also the co-host and producer of New Abolitionist Radio, which is heard every Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on this network. And he is going to be talking about some of his efforts to organize for the upcoming march in August on Washington, D.C. for the human rights of prisoners and to end legalized slavery in the United States, which is being practiced via the 13th Amendment. Through the prisons. He'll be discussing some of his outreach efforts, and also we'll tell organizations how they can get involved. I was just brushing up on some of the information, and I have to make sure that I enter in Black Talk Media Project as a supporting organization for this march coming up. Also, some of the other things that I want to talk about on tonight's broadcast during the second hour, I want to discuss quote unquote good white people. Now, the reason that I want to discuss quote unquote good white people is I saw a video of a member of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement talk about colonialism. And this person, he didn't even classify himself as white. He classified himself as European. But he, in my opinion, spoke some truth about that. And then, you know, just because I'm plugged into so many different communities or movements or ideologies, I can see some people would attack this man and say, oh, this is one of them good white people, better be cautious and all this and that. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, which I actually might reach out to, because as I'm learning more about the work that they're doing under another organization, I think they need to be showcased. And yes, I said they need to be showcased. Also, want to talk about Trump's ban on Muslims from certain countries. I think there's about 6 different countries, 3 of them African countries or countries located in Africa. And there are a number of questions concerning this ban. But one of the big questions I have is, why isn't Saudi Arabia on the list? When reportedly, if we want to believe the 9/11 Commission, if we want to go by what the U.S. government is officially stating, most of the hijackers were Muslims from Saudi Arabia. So where, you know, that just stood out to me. Where is the ban on Saudi Arabia. So what's going on there? Of course, I can't answer that, but y'all have to talk to Trump's people. Why Saudi Arabia, which there is a lawsuit proceeding of the victims' families against Saudi Arabia. But it's awful interesting that you're talking about banning Muslims because of terrorism, but Saudi Arabia's not on the list. So if there is time, we will also open up the phone lines for whatever callers want to discuss or just go over some of the week's news. Before we bring Max on to talk about this very, very important, what I hope will be a historic march on Washington, D.C., all you white women, all you black women, all the people that was out over the weekend for the Women's March, y'all invited too. All right, because we're talking about slavery. We ain't talking about reproduction rights or anything like that, you know, because it's just awful funny to me, you know, that people want to talk about caring about babies in the womb, but once they get outside the womb, they ain't got a problem with them growing up and being put into slavery. Okay, so we want to invite everyone. We are turning no one down. We want a million or more participating in this march. But before I get to that, before we bring Max on, we had another webinar today, the Black Talk Media Project, every Saturday from 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Every Saturday, I hold a question and answer session on new media, meaning if you want to learn anything about digital radio broadcasting, video broadcasting, different software, if you want to learn about content management systems, how the Black Talk Media Project can help you build your own media outlets, podcasting, digital radio streaming, video podcasting, all of that. That is why I had that class every Saturday. It's not really a class. It's a question and answer session because it's all based on the questions that people ask. I may change it up a little bit and start giving like a short presentation at the beginning, just, you know, play a couple of videos that I've made in terms of how to set up your equipment, what type of equipment you need to start streaming digital radio at a very high quality and without any limitations. We had a couple of people turn out to that today. I hope more people start getting involved. I know a couple of people emailed me and said they wanted to make it, but they could not make it, and they'll turn out next week. Again, this is an effort of the Black Talk Media Project in our mission to elevate independent black voices using new media technology. We don't need other people controlling our voices. We don't need to be on other people's platforms or begging to be on their platforms when we can create our own platforms. And so that's in keeping with our mission. The webinar is free, although you can make a donation. It's not required for me to answer your questions. It's open to the public, but if you support the work and you want to see it continue, you can make a donation. So that's still going on. As long as the creator allows me, I will continue to have those classes every Saturday. I made a commitment this year to have those classes every Saturday because I do believe, like Malcolm believes, that media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. It makes the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. All right, so without any further delay, we want to bring on a world-renowned abolitionist, Max Partis. Max, do we have you?
Yes, sir. What's up, Brother Scotty? And hello to the listeners out there today.
Hey, what's going on, Max? Good to speak with you again. I just wanted to bring you on, and I wouldn't mind if you came on every Saturday that I do this program to give us updates on this march that's coming up in August for prisoners to end legalized slavery in this country. And, you know, I understand you are a very busy person. You are out there in the field giving abolitionist workshops in addition to your spoken word artistry. And so, you know, I do know there are some other people that if you can't make it, we could reach out to. Because, Max, I think this is very important, man. And I got to do everything I can do in my power to support those people.
Indeed, brother. I feel the same way. And just a clarification, I am not one of the main organizers. I was invited to be a speaker, and I offered whatever services that I could provide because I feel like you. And you know me, brother. Once I say I'm committed to something, I mean that. I'm committed. I will do everything I can to help that cause. And I'm committed to this cause. The lead organizer is Crystal Roundtree. And you can contact her at iamweubuntu.com. That's I, the word, am, the word, we, the word, U-B-U-N-T-U.com. And she's given me some leeway to just do me because this, you know, what are, it's along the fight that we've been fighting now for years. And our help, I guess, she feels will be invaluable to the movement. So just to clarify it, I'm not one of the organizers. I'm just a participant. And I wish everybody who was a participant would show the passion and commitment that we're showing here on the Black Talk Radio Network as well.
Yeah, I don't think I said you were a main organizer. I think I said you are organizing because you are. Whether
right,
you
I'm just clarifying it so yeah, you know, listening would know.
Right.
The situation. And maybe we can get Crystal to come in every Saturday because I get a lot of my information of what she's doing secondhand through her. Of course, I can report on what I've been doing, but the information that I get from her is also stuff that maybe she can give every Saturday. I think she might even like that idea. I'll reach out to her and ask her about it.
I certainly appreciate that. I will be reaching out to them as well so that we can get the Black Talk Media Project as one of the supporting organizations. I know they're asking for that, and so I want to make sure that Black Talk Media Project, because this has been, abolitionism has been a big part of our media work. So we definitely,
indeed it has.
Yeah, we definitely got, you know, have to represent. But Max, for those who don't know what we've been talking about for the past couple of minutes, can you give them a rundown on what's going to be going down in August?
Yes, sir. On August 19th, they have the Millions for Prisoners March on Washington. We're forming a coalition of all the people who are affected by mass incarceration and all the synonyms for slavery that we hear about, racism in the courts, injustice in the courts, the for-profit probation, the for-profit warrant system, the for-profit private prisons, and on and on and on. And if we just get two people to represent every single person that is in, whether in prison or in jail or on probation or on parole or being monitored, we have 48 million people in the streets on that day. We're only asking, hoping to get just a few million in there to drive home the point of how serious this is. We understand, basically, because of our experience with the prisoners' work stoppage, the national prisoner work strike that we just had, that mainstream media is not going to be our friend, and we cannot count on them to cover it at all. We might get lucky, and maybe NPR will do it. But as far as the mainstream media is concerned, we can't expect that. So by sheer numbers...
Wait a minute. You mean Roland Martin of News One or any of these other outlets that target Black people, they not interested in promoting this upcoming, they not interested in having you or any of the official organizers of this on?
Well, from what I understand and with the experience that we've had with the prisoners' work strike, that would seem the case, yes, because they did not cover that, so we don't expect them to cover this. If they do, we would be very happy. I know that Crystal Roundtree recently told me she just did an interview with Al Jazeera. So international organizations are looking at us and asking for us to talk on their programs, but here in America, we're not counting on it. We hope, but we're not counting on it.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a good thing. Roland Martin, if you listening, if you ever come across this podcast, please reach out to this organization and have them come on your news program so that more people, the people who are most impacted by legalized slavery in this country, can be aware of this. Now, Max, you were talking about, you mentioned that if you could just get two people, activists that are working on whatever issue.
Just have somebody involved in the prison system. If just two people per person showed up, it would be 48 million people in the streets. That's how much this affects our society and how deeply embedded it is in our society. And so far, the march seems to be coming together fantastically. We've got Black Lives Matter on board. We've got representatives coming in from organizations all over the country. The NAACP is going to be represented in some fashion as well. Sister Nakimi Levy-Pounds, who is a guest of New Abolitionist Radio, and we've spoken with her before. She'll be one of the speakers there at the event. She's also running for mayor of Minneapolis in November.
Another abolitionist. Another abolitionist, yes, running for office.
That's right. We've seen a lot of that in the past few years. We've been really trying to educate so many and give them the opportunity to know that there's people out there who will back them if they decide to go against the grain and step into politics as an abolitionist, because that's what we need these days, especially those who are very familiar with the circumstances that we face. Crystal also told me that so far we have as a minimum of 300 legal observers who will be in attendance, and as many as we need, but at a minimum 300. And several of the universities nearby in Washington have offered to provide as many as 300 to 500 dorm rooms for activists and organizers who are part of this event to be there. So this is going to be a huge thing that's occurring. We've even discussed with NORML, the National NORML Association, to be a part of it. And so far, we've got at least one chapter that is certainly involved here in Columbia, South Carolina. And they've already called for a national meeting of the chapter presidents to discuss the entire organization. So we're all coming together like Voltron on this this impact. We're walking in with legislation in hand, and senators and congressmen and other government officials willing to sign it right there on that day.
You know, when you mention NORML, I'm aware of NORML. They have been part of the cannabis legalization efforts for a very, very long time. That's their primary issue. But that just brought to mind law enforcement against prohibition. I have some contacts. We've had Neil Franklin on the network. People may have seen him on television, especially during Baltimore, because he used to work in Maryland. I don't know if he still lives there. But he also, I remember seeing a video. I was very moved by the emotion that he showed when he said that as a slave catcher, he didn't call it a slave catcher, but he said as a law enforcement officer, you know, he had to realize what he had done to his people. And this man was in tears, you know. So I'm going to reach out to them and see if they want to be a part of it, or I can just put Crystal in touch with Neil Franklin. But I would think that law enforcement against prohibition wouldn't have a problem with being one of those sponsoring organizations.
I also want to just make some honorable mention of other people that are certainly involved, because it's more than just Crystal. There's a team, certainly. So I want to recognize Mala Devine, who is the co-chair for Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee, and Jennifer Dalton, who is the National Committee member, and also Jailhouse Lawyers Speaks, who are also National Committee members. So it takes a team to make this happen, and she is the face at the front of this.
Law enforcement against prohibition.
There are many people behind it.
Sorry about that, Max. I was trying to get to a link, and it was playing. We was hearing our stream playing back. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I wanted to make sure I gave recognition to the other people who are core members involved in the organizing of this, which was Mala Devine, the co-chair for Millions for Prisoners Human Rights Organizing Committee, and Jennifer Dalton, who is the National Committee member, project manager, and also Jailhouse Lawyers Speak is a National Committee member. So although Crystal Roundtree is the go-to person, there, it takes a team. It always takes a team. And there's no one person really that can make this all happen.
I want to...
I
want to open up the phone lines for anyone listening who has any questions, especially if you are part of an organization. If you have any questions, I have linked to the website, iamweubuntu.com, and it's /millions-4-prisoners-human-rights.html. I've linked to it, so if you're on Black Talk Radio Network listening now or listening later, you'll be able to get there. And the first thing that's going to stare you right in the face is the same thing I've used for years as my profile background picture on social media, and that's the picture of the 13th Amendment with its entire text. And you will see that it's very prominent. So there is no mistaking what they're talking about. They ain't talking about mass incarceration, because the majority of black people are not incarcerated. So technically that term is wrong. But there are millions of people in this country who are impacted by 21st century legalized slavery and human trafficking by way of the 13th Amendment. So when I first came across this site, when I saw that, hey, I knew that these people were on the on the right mission. Okay, that they weren't confused about what's going on. And they weren't afraid to call it what it is. Okay, but let me just share the mission statement from them directly so that you can hear from them what this is about. But again, if you have any questions or comments, Max will be with us during this first hour. You can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit **. I will see you, and we'll get your question or your comment. But let me share their mission statement. It says, "We seek to unite activists, advocates, prisoners, ex-prisoners, their family and friends, as well as all others committed to the fight to drastically reduce or eliminate prisons and the prison system and replace them with more humane and effective systems. Our aim is to expose the prison industrial complex for the human rights violation that it truly is. We want to challenge the ideal that caging and controlling people keeps communities safe. We believe that for too long, our nation has relied upon incarceration as a way to solve broader social problems to its detriment. In August of 2017, we will march on Washington to bring world attention to the continued slavery and involuntary servitude in America enabled by the 13th Amendment, and to highlight the ever-increasing movement against the prison industrial complex." And it's signed, "The New Abolitionist Movement." I love it, Max. I love it.
You got to feel proud, brother, because you know, after all these years of fighting so hard, that you have influenced social consciousness to a point where something like this can occur.
And
there was a time when nobody would want to speak up on it.
Well, it was a time that many people like me wasn't even aware that the problem still existed. They thought it was something else. They were listening to, like I was listening to, my trusted teachers. "Oh, Miss Smith ain't gonna lie to me. You know, Miss Smith wants to see me educated. She ain't gonna lie to me about slavery and what have you." But that's exactly what happened. And I don't want to put it on teachers. I don't want to alienate any teachers out there who've been teaching that the Civil War ended slavery in this country and Lincoln freed everybody and the 13th Amendment abolished slavery for all, because many of these people don't even know themselves. Many of these teachers do not know themselves. And I'm sure they're being taught from the same textbooks, getting their textbooks from the same people. So this is not something I've ever heard anybody teaching, even African-American studies in a university, ever talk about. They may talk about it now, but I didn't hear them talking about it 5 years ago. So I want to cut them a little bit of slack on that, but stop lying to your children.
Hey, man, I got in trouble one time here at the University of South Carolina. Tribal Rain and I were invited to come and speak, and we admonished the educators for not teaching these kids correctly. I mean, you got young adults here in university who don't know that there is an exception clause in the 13th Amendment. And there's so many of them who are people of color, and their very freedom is defined by what occurs in 1865 with that amendment. And to not know it is just a terrible thing. And I didn't mean to, you know, put all the weight on the educators, but they should know. And if they know, the students would know.
Right. So, I mean, we got a lot to do in this country in terms of just getting the truth out and you know, the ultimate goal of abolishing slavery once and for all in this country. So I'm hoping that the millions of people that we saw turn out against Donald Trump, demonstrating about against Donald Trump and all that. Well, slavery is a big part of his agenda. So I hope all of you ladies that was out there all over this country that you will be in Washington, D.C. on August the 19th. Okay, we want to see the same level of participation. Max, one of the things you were saying about, you know, we just had two people. I've heard we used to have a program on here called what was it? It used to come on Saturday nights, Black Autonomy Radio, representing, you know, that organization. And like they were talking about it one time, and there, look, I don't think there's a black family in this country that hasn't been touched by modern day slavery and human trafficking. I've had several family members who have been enslaved. You have
maybe
sons.
The Obamas.
Huh? What's that?
Maybe the Obamas.
Yeah, maybe them.
They might not have been touched by it.
Yeah, maybe them. But they would be the exception to the rule, all right? But I've had several family members over the years who have been, you know, enslaved on a prison plantation, my younger brother, and they didn't even have any kind of evidence to support. They talking about he broke in somebody's house and stole something. Well, what did he steal? Where is it? Did you recover it? Oh, you didn't? Oh, where you think? But they are all white jury with a judge. Still found my brother guilty, made him 10 years a slave, had him processing turkeys on a turkey farm for slave wages. So I'm telling you, man, there should be a lot of people out there because we've all been touched by this some way.
If you have the opportunity and you look at the organization Solidarity, you will see a long list of grassroots organizations who have been fighting so hard individually that are now coming together for a larger cause. And of course, Black Talk Radio Network is listed there, as well as New Abolitionist Radio and the organization I founded back in 1999, Prismatic Dreams. So we're all listed there. But some of them include, like, Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, George Jackson University, Prison Reform Movement, U.S. Human Rights Network, Amend the 13th, Jericho Amnesty Movement, Industrial Workers of the World, Incarcerated Workers, the IWOC, and on and on and on. And we need your organization's names up there to be listed too, because this is something we can all agree on. It has to change. And in my opinion, and many others' opinion, fighting for reform of mass incarceration is the equivalent of a delaying tactic, because the same problems just continue to exist, and we're really not making much of a dent in it at all. So we need to address this head on and deal with it immediately, because it is a matter of life and death. And many people are losing their freedom and their lives, being brutalized and hunted like wild game while we try to figure out whether or not this is even a crime.
Right. You know, you said, Max, you made the statement that we should all be able to agree. But I'm finding that there are people among us who don't agree. who don't agree. They say it's something else that's going on here. I mean, there's no shortage of issues or things that's being done to people, all right? But I don't see how anybody can dispute what the 13th Amendment say. I didn't say it. Scotty didn't write the 13th Amendment. Max didn't write the 13th Amendment. Racist white men wrote the 13th Amendment. So I'm going to believe them. I'm going to believe the words that they put down on paper. They said slavery was never abolished on paper. I don't care what the teacher said. I don't care what Steven Spielberg showed you in a movie glamorizing Lincoln. I care about what these racist enslavers said when they wrote the doggone 13th Amendment. And we should have seen that coming. And when I say we, of course, I wasn't born back then. But when Lincoln invited former Confederates to help write it, thank you, Michael Cord of the People's Attorney up there in Philadelphia, who wrote an article, a well-researched article that showed the role that these former Confederate senators and congresspeople play in writing the 13th Amendment. I mean, that should have gave you a clue. That should have gave people back then a clue then that something was up. It certainly would have gave me a clue, and it certainly gave Frederick Douglass a clue.
Yes, Frederick Douglass eventually denounced the emancipation as stupendous fraud against the world. And at the time that he was fighting it, he was in opposition with other abolitionists. For instance, some felt that we should not be negotiating with slavers for our future. And Frederick Douglass was opposed to that. He thought that we should all be involved, including those who had previously been enslavers of African Americans, and that we should work through, at that time, the Republican Party to make a change. So he was in opposition of a good number of abolitionists who felt like that's not the way that we should be doing this. And here we are with the results of that today. We know that in 1865 that the 13th Amendment was passed, and right away in 1866 they had prison being built here, or that was built here in South Carolina, that immediately started filling its rooms, its cells, with black bodies. And that went on all the way up to 1928 until it was finally supposedly abolished in Alabama.
Right. Okay. Max, I want to talk about something. Let me put it this way. You had a conversation with a representative of the NAACP because you've been, again, like I wrote, you have been tirelessly assisting those who put this together and off on your own trying to get as many organizations involved as possible. But I understand from talking to you earlier, you were disappointed with an individual you spoke with at the NAACP headquarters. What was that about? If you don't mind sharing.
Yes, and just to clarify, I did record the conversation, but we are going to be unable to play it, and I'm probably going to have to take it down today, because although recording a conversation here in South Carolina between two parties with only one party consent is legal, it is not legal in Maryland, where the home base for the NAACP is located. So I'm probably going to have to take that down today. Nonetheless, on that day, two of the things that I had intended to do was to call the ACLU and to get a stance from them on the 13th Amendment, and to also call the NAACP and get an official stance from them on the 13th Amendment. I just wanted to know where these two civil rights organizations stand on the 13th Amendment and its allowance for legalized slavery in the United States. I was completely unable to get through to the ACLU. I've never seen so much run around in my whole life. So I gave up after about a half an hour of attempting to get to them. But I did get through to the NAACP, and I spoke to its public relations manager in Baltimore. And I asked him the very simple questions about, what is the official stance on the 13th Amendment from the NAACP? And also, would they be in support of the Millions for Prisoners March on Washington on August 19th? And the representative told me in uncertain terms, as if he already knew and the memo had went out, that we do not support any constitutional changes, and we do not support any constitutional conventions to amend anything of the Constitution in order for reinterpretation. So,
Max, right there, Max, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. You might have called him in a lie, because if I'm not mistaken, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, they are fully on board with an amendment to get big money out of politics. There is a whole movement around amending the Constitution to get big money out. Because you know me, I'm always I'm always spying on people. You know what I'm saying? I'm always a party to the communications that people send out. And there's a whole movement to amend the Constitution to put a ban on big money, unlimited money in politics. So there is a huge segment, we'll call them liberals and progressive, who support an amendment to get big money out. So I can't say that I have heard members of the NAACP speak on that, but please continue.
Well, he said, told me in no uncertain terms, we do not support a constitutional convention to amend the 13th. We do not support any attempt at reinterpretation of the Constitution. And he was very clear about that to me. And speaking as a representative of public relations from the main office, I took it to be coming from a person who knew very well what it is they wanted to do and did not want to do. So it took me back, and I asked him, I said, well, what you're saying then is basically what we have as is okay and it's going to stand. And then he started telling me about how their attorneys across the board are fighting to reduce mass incarceration. Again, something we talk about on New Abolitionist Radio all the time. If you're looking at it as mass incarceration, you're looking at it wrong, because it's not mass incarceration. It's slavery and human trafficking. If you're trying to reform a crime, you're making a big mistake, because you don't reform crimes, you abolish them. So that was his stance on that. And when I asked him about supporting the organization or the movement on August 19th, he referred me to their next march that they're in support of, which is a march on climate change. And that, again, struck me as very unusual, because I was like, what the heck does the NAACP have to do with climate change and supporting a march on climate change while 13 million people are going through jails every year, and 2.4 million are sitting in prisons, and 8 million are on probation and parole? When does that rise to your list of priorities worthy of marching for?
And I would add, Max,
quite a bit.
I would add, those millions that you just mentioned are predominantly black and non-white people.
You are absolutely right. And because it was me speaking to him, and I'm so familiar with those things, when he also told me another thing, he said, I told him about the 13th Amendment and the slavery and how private prisons are using our bodies as collateral to buy and sell on the open market through the forms of prison stocks and jail bonds. He very clearly told me, well, that affects immigrants more than anyone else. And that is like, okay. Yes, it does affect immigrants more than anyone else right now, since 2012. Not before, since 2012. But this affecting the black community goes all the way back to 1865, from convict leasing to chain gangs to Unicor to mass incarceration in an unbroken line of slavery and human trafficking. And when they ran out of black people, basically, to arrest, they started finding other segments of our communities to be able to criminalize, those being homeless. Of course, we've seen the criminalization of the homeless, particularly here where I live in Columbia, South Carolina. We've seen the criminalization of people suffering from mental disabilities, and we've seen the criminalization of the immigrants. And you and I and Yohanan have documented that as it occurred in 2012 and beyond. So yes, immigrants are being affected by these private prisons right now more than anyone else, but they are new on the radar of this effect through the 13th Amendment.
Well, you know what I find about that comment? I'm not, I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. I don't try to differentiate between slaves. A slave is a slave. I don't care about the slave's skin color. I don't care about the slave's natural origin. I'm against slavery. It's just that plain and simple. I don't care, you know, why we will point out that it's primarily affecting black people. That's because we are black. We're part of this community. This is a black station that was built primarily for, specifically for black people. So, yes, we talk about it in those terms. But at the same time, I'm against slavery, period, of anyone. And we don't pick out just black people when we highlight victims of slavery. Some of the people we have highlighted, like the one guy who was gassed to death in a Florida jail, he was white, you know? So I'm not going to allow people to paint me into a corner or play racial politics with the issue of slavery. Slavery is slavery. Either it's wrong or it's not. What, we gonna have slavery for some no slavery for others? We're out to free everybody from slavery. I'm speaking for myself, Max.
Yes, we want to end slavery, period. Nobody should be the personal property of another person, a state, or anything else. You should not be owned and operated as a human being. Human trafficking should not be allowed within our borders. You know, we have laws against such things, but we don't even follow them. Examples that would really make this stand out would be the prison in Arizona called, I believe it's called Eloy, where they house only Hawaiians in Arizona. Now, why the hell are Hawaiians being arrested in Hawaii and then sent across the ocean to Arizona to a prison there? And the answer is because it's human trafficking. They have contracts in Arizona that guarantee 100% occupancy at all times. So they bring their prisoners into Arizona. And that in itself is illegal. The same thing applies in places like Vermont. Vermont has contracts where they're sending their prisoners out to Michigan and other states. Again, that is human trafficking. That is illegal. You did not commit a crime in Michigan. You committed a crime in Vermont. You have no business being in Michigan. And that's not even counting the effect that it has on the families who now have to drive hundreds, if not thousands of miles to be able to visit their family members.
We have a call, area code 414. You're on Black Talk Radio News with myself and Max Parthas. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Greetings. This is Rob in Milwaukee.
Greetings, Rob.
Greetings, Scotty. Max. I'm still growing. I was in greater confinement, and I was shipped to Minnesota. While I was there, Appleton, Minnesota, to be specific, like right on the border next to the Dakota.
From Wisconsin to Minnesota.
Yeah, and I did time with Hawaiians. It was Samoans and Hawaiians there from Hawaii, and it was also people from Colorado there, and the gangs from Wisconsin got into it with the gangs from Colorado, and then ended up being a lockdown, and then the Colorado contract got closed out, and then it was just Wisconsin and the Hawaiian, the people from Hawaii in the prison. Just wanted to add that.
Well, Rob,
you experienced it and saw it with your own eyes.
Yes.
Say that again.
He said you experienced it and saw it with your own eyes. You're giving us firsthand testimony.
Oh, yeah, and then let me say this. In the Wisconsin prisons, they took the freeways out. So it's just, what I mean by freeways is like weights that you have to put onto the bar and, take off. So in Wisconsin, it's just universal weights. Now in Appleton, Minnesota, it was free weights. And the people from Hawaii have been there for a while, and anybody that's familiar with bench pressing, man, these Samoans and Hawaiians was benching like, man, four plates on each side. I'm talking about these guys, man. It was crazy in there. And it was a lot of anti-sexual behavior taking place, quote-unquote homosexuality. And, man, it was ill. Yeah.
You, a couple of issues that you spoke on there, but before I get to those, I want to ask you a question, Rob. What kind of impact on them shipping you out? Again, this was human trafficking. What kind of impact did that have on your family's ability to see you and, you know, keep in touch? Did it put an undue burden on them? Well, just, you know, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's putting it light. I was there for 2.5 years, and I think I've seen my family maybe twice. And luckily, it was a guy, rest in peace, a guy named Tim, that I was locked up with. He was around my same age. He was out there, and him and his mom and my auntie were good friends. So they linked up and commuted to come and see us. And, you know, it was an overnight trip. So that's hotel, food, you know, travel. I think they said it was maybe like an 8-hour commute or something like that. And it was a tremendous strain. You know, to your family, if you have loved ones that's close to you, they do the time with you.
Say that again, Rob. That's very important what you said.
If you have loved ones that you are close to and you go, these slave catchers put you in greater confinement, your loved ones is doing the time with you.
Yes, they are. Yes, indeed they are, brother.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And the answer to that dilemma that has been presented to us by the powers that be from the Prison Bureau and such is to provide us with video conferencing that we can pay for to see our families' faces and hear their voices, as they've done with me and my son, where they want to charge you as much as $10 for 15 minutes to be able to speak to your loved ones, not to touch them, not to be close to them, to see them on a video screen, to exploit the families even further.
Right. You know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee specifically, is so, let me speak plainly, the oppression from these slave catchers is so ill down here right now. You have to do video conference visits in the county jail. Man, it used to be a visitor would come to see you and there would just be a glass between you guys and then you would, you know, talk on the phone. But after, I think, a guy, like, escaped through one of the windows or something like that, and now it's only video conference and calls from the county jail.
And that's just something else that they're making untold millions on, exploiting family members of the incarcerated.
I have another question, and Rob, I appreciate your testimony. It's always great to hear from. So I've never been to prison. I mean, I've been to prison to visit. I've been in jail before, but I've never been sent to a prison plantation and spent years of my life on there. So I can only speak about it, you know, from the standpoint that I can speak about it. And it's always important, where victims of modern day slavery and human trafficking, it is very important for us to hear from people like yourself about what you experienced. I want to ask you another question. Did you feel like when they had you enslaved, do you feel like they were trying to rehabilitate you so to be an asset to society when you got out? Did you see any quote unquote rehabilitation going on?
Not really. And what I mean by that is that, like, once you reach prison, it's slavery. So you got to work or go to school if you're if you're there. You got to work or go to school, or you go to segregation, which is the whole. So, you know, we already know what the public education school system is about, but I can say that you can not just allow the time to do you, as the cliche says. You know, don't let the time do you, you do the time. So as far as there is limited education, but I wouldn't say that that setting is about rehabilitating anyone. It's a unnatural setting. Man, once I got to Green Bay Correctional Institution, now I was a 4.0 student in high school, you know, and I got arrested in my senior year. And, you know, they sent me to a maximum security prison.
In your senior year, which means you never got the opportunity to graduate or anything.
Well, you know, I attained a high school equivalency diploma while I was in prison. So the maximum security prison, and inside of that cell, okay, I'm 6 feet tall, about 170 pounds. And when I stood in that cell, I could touch the ceiling with both of my hands, and I could touch both of the walls when I stretched my arms out. And wow. I say that I could maybe take about 10 paces forward, maybe 15 foot to foot, just walking, you know, back and forth. Maybe let's say 20 paces. But, you know, it's not that long either. But sink, toilet, two men, 24-hour lockdown. You understand what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Only time.
I remember the head of the Bureau of Prisons didn't know that information when asked by Congress what the size of the cells that the prisoners were being put into was. He had no idea. You know, I would like to share some data with the listeners here regarding Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular from our series called America is Ferguson. And it's just a brief thing, if you don't mind. It says a UW Milwaukee study finds Wisconsin has the nation's highest rate of black male incarceration by far. In 2010, 1 in 8 working age black men in Wisconsin were in prison. In Milwaukee County, more than half, that's more than 1 out of 2, of the African American men in their 30s had served time. Oklahoma has the next highest rate, which is 6 percentage points lower than Wisconsin. And drug-related crimes account for as many as 75 to 85% of all inmates in Wisconsin prisons. Of the 26,000 black men from Milwaukee County in prison since 1990, 40% were for drug offenses. Additionally, drug crimes soared from 2002 to 2005, during which time black men were more than 10 times as likely to be imprisoned as white men, according to the UWM study. So you're living in a condition where every two brothers, one of them spent time in prison.
Yeah, you know, it shows just about where I'm living. It's just, it's bad. other cities.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rob, I have a question for Rob. You mentioned earlier that when you were on that plantation that you had rival gangs fighting each other and what have you. What do we got to do, man, to educate people? What do we need to do to educate people that you all in the same boat? We're all slaves in this system, and we need to be uniting together if we're going to survive this, if we're going to get out of this. What? Because, you know, I do understand the gang mentality. I was in a gang as a very, very young man. I hadn't even become a teenager when I was first kind of jumped into a gang and what have you. But I just find it sad that once people find themselves in that situation of slavery, modern slavery, that they don't band together and they you know, fight each other. Now, I know some of the stories I've read, you have guards instigating that kind of stuff, man. Actually, you know, making them fight each other and betting on it and that kind of stuff. But I'm just trying to understand, and I'm hoping that mentality is changing, because last year, with the anniversary of the Attica riots, there, I can't tell you the exact number of prisons. I'm sure it probably wasn't even, you know, 75%, if even half of the prisons, that prisoners themselves are starting to identify this as slavery and are pointing to the 13th Amendment and banding together. So I don't know if I was clear, and you could find the question in there, but man, what do we got to do?
Basically, if I understood the question, you were asking what can we do to get the gangs to see that they're basically all on the same team. I'm on the phone, honey. Was that the question?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
can you dig it?
Definitely, man. With the jackhammer. In my opinion, I would say, I think that, as you stated, a lot of the problems are instigated, and from what I observe personally, most of the problems come from resources, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
resources.
I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, go too much into that, but, you know, like, okay, like, you know how you got people that work jobs and then you got people that hustle. And
right.
They call that like the underworld, or, you know what I'm saying, like the underground. But it's still a functioning society with rules, regulations, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, whatever, give or take. And prison is the same way. Like, yeah, you there, but you still living. You understand what I'm saying? So it's almost like, man, the same rules apply, in a sense, if that makes any sense.
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying? So like this, like the guy, it was a book, Fins the Science, and he was talking about, he was on either Gus' program, or I think he was on your program, Scotty. But he was given an interview, and he talked about how he came in with a guy, and the guy didn't have money, and he was, you know, man, sweating people for stuff to eat. And, you know, what I mean by sweating is constantly asking people for stuff to eat. And his guy told him, hey, man, chill out, man, you know, just cool out. And he didn't. Somebody, you know, gave him something, and he was taken advantage of behind that. And so I gave all that to say, you know what I'm saying, man, if you can't change like a young person in there, coming in with nothing, you understand what I'm saying, facing that time in that isolated condition, you understand what I'm saying, and then if it's a prison where you got the quote unquote booty bang that's running around, you know, man, you facing that. You got the guards that's playing the role in that. You understand what I'm saying, man? So it's a culture that definitely needs to be attacked and changed, man, because we don't need young men coming out of them situation, man, looking to be with other men. You know, we need soldiers coming up out of there. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just the fight, man. You know, but I would definitely, resources, though, would be the answer to that question. So, you know, man, one can, like this, okay, how gang members, quote unquote, well, let's not even say a gang member. What you do out here is going to reflect what you doing in there. And what I mean by that, if you had resources while you was out, man, you'll have resources while you was in there. You understand what I'm saying? So I think it's a inside out kind of a situation. You understand what I'm saying, man, where we have to link with the guys that's inside. It can't be out of sight, out of mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Situation. And like Tupac Shakur, rest in peace, the late great Tupac Shakur, had got with some of the older guys in the penitentiary and came up with a code of conduct. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about changing the behavior. And, you know, we under the system and understand we got to do what we got to do. But at the same time, you know, man, we have to conduct ourselves, man, with some black self-respect.
Understood. Well, thank you, Rob, for sharing, man. And anytime you want to jump back in during the broadcast, just hit star, unmute yourself. Anybody else that's on the line, if you want to contribute.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I got one question for you, Scotty. I need to get a pen. I needed the email that you told me. You told me the email if I was interested in starting the program. And you gave it to me, but I didn't write it down. I was in the car that day, so I just wanted to get that from you. And just kind of talk with you about that. But I wanted to. I know you got a lot on your plate, but I'm very interested in starting a program and kind of looked into be like a man an understudy. You know what I mean? So I can really learn. And
right. You need to, if you're able on Saturdays, you need to come to that webinar. It's online based, obviously, but yeah, every Saturday.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. What's the, where do I go to look at?
It'll be the same conference line, uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. It'll be best if you log in with a computer so that you can see any visuals that I may share, or you may need to share some visuals with me. It allows us to do that. But my email address, you could just simply email info as in information, but that's info at blacktalkmediaproject.org. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
The other one you said was uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Okay, got you.
That's every Tuesday.
Thanks a lot. I'll meet my line.
All right. Thank you. Every Tuesday. From 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern is where we had that question and answer webinar, where I am seeking to assist people who want to learn this technology to harness it for our collective benefit. I'll put it that way. Max.
Yes,
all right. Did you have any closing comments for us in terms of millions for prisoners, human rights, March that will be going down August 19, 2017?
Yes, sir, I do. First of all, since we spoke about the NAACP conversation, I would just like to make a statement regarding that. So So for the record, I have no beef with the NAACP. I'm just trying to get them to consider a point that has been ignored. I have friends who are chapter presidents and lifelong members. My only issue is the same I have with other organizations who don't see a present and historical connection to the 13th Amendment and mass incarceration, or those that downplay its significance. Maybe I'm a little more critical at this, as this is supposed to be an organization and institution designed to advance the causes of people of color and their rights. So next week, I'll be in Savannah, Georgia, to talk with them personally about this very issue. And I would invite anybody in the area to please come and join us for the NAACP Presents Political Town Hall Series, the 13th Amendment Discussion. This will be held at Armstrong State University. It begins at 6:30. It lasts an hour, and it's at University Hall 158. So if you're an abolitionist, come on down here and lend your voice where it's most needed, in Savannah, Georgia, on February 8th at 6:30 p.m. We need you to speak up now, not later, now.
Thank you again, Max. Definitely, we're always in touch, bro. So it ain't no sense of me even saying I catch up with you later. But yeah, man, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Tell the fam I said hello. If you don't mind, can you give us an update on your daughter?
My daughter is she's in the hospital again. She spends a lot of time in the hospital now. Every cold or every sniffle, every fever, it's life-threatening. And our family is in dire straits at this moment as far as being able to manage these bills that are coming in. They're just so far over us, and we don't know what to do at this point. We don't know what to do. It's in God's hands, and we're asking for help with her. We have a GoFundMe set up that for if people want to help make donations. But right now, it's just a bad situation, not only for her health, but also for her stability. And we do a lot of praying. We're doing a lot of praying right now.
And so how can people get to the GoFundMe page?
If there's a page in particular that you would want me to share it on, I will, like the Black Talk Radio Network page. I will put it on there, and maybe you can spread it around from that area.
Actually, just send it to me in a message.
Yes,
that'd be the easiest
any help
way.
At all. It doesn't matter what it is, $5, a dollar, whatever, is something that will help us, because at this point, it's really threatening our entire family structure, and her life is in danger. I look at it like these pharmacies who are charging us $75 and $150 per pill are standing between my daughter's life and her death. And the only way we can keep her alive is keep throwing money at them. And it's money we don't have.
Man.
Again, any help will be appreciated.
Yeah, so
thank you, Scotty.
You're welcome, Max. Make sure send me those links, and I'll send that out through our networks. All right, Max Parthas, new abolitionist. He was on with us talking about the prisoners march that's coming up in Washington, D.C. See, I knew he wasn't going to talk about himself and his family's own issues. That's why I brought that up. You know, because he focused on trying to help all of us. But you know what? We need to help those who are putting in work on the behalf of all of us when they come into these situations that come up in life. So I will be sending that link out to the GoFundMe page for Max's daughter. You'll be able to get it on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. If you follow us on Twitter, I'll also post it in btrcommunity.com. All right, Max. Thank you, bro. Thank you. You continue to stay safe behind these enemy lines.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you. I'll be listening.
Okay. I'm overdue for a break. I'm going to take a station identification break, kick some music. Man, I got to load up some music, that new music from Sincere Naquiri. With those God Life beats, because he just came out with a new mixtape. I think it's out. I got an advanced copy of it, but I like, he got some really tight tracks on there, and I call it message music. But we're going to kick some message music from Father Ja, also Sincere Naquiri. Then when we come back, I want to get into another topic. I saw this video of this guy who classifies himself or I should say self-identifies as a European, which I'll talk about why that distinction kind of stood out to me. But I want to play this video. I came across this video and I was like, you know, I could see some people that would go, that wouldn't even pay attention to what he's doing or what that organization, Yahuru Solidarity Movement, is doing. And they'll use good white people as a smear. All right. And so I just want to play the video so people can hear the words that this man is saying. And I want to know, I'll put this out as a question, if his words are promoting justice or if they're promoting injustice. Because as I heard Mr. Fuller say, even though I don't agree with him on everything, there are some things that just truth, no matter who it's coming from. But he say, you know, practicing in, that justice isn't a matter of skin color. All right. It's a matter of thought, speech, and action. Okay. And so I want to know if this guy who classifies or self-identifies as a European is promoting justice or is he promoting injustice? And to the question, if there are any good white people, I have an answer for that question on the other side when we come back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting from the Black Talk Radio Network, which is managed by the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, which believes that we can create better black communities with better black media. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Jails in America are being privatized, and they are on the stock exchange, and you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have...
But now, they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. But they're offering you rap deals. Atlantic. And in your rap, there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have...
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see if you keeping it. And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change.
military feared of the war. So when you see the police armed like they are, that's not to serve and protect. That is to kill. I look around this room and I see nothing but untapped potential. Now look at the money that's been given to rappers to continue the drill kind of rap. This is the hardest core rap that there is. It's killing,
killing. And I see nothing but untapped potential.
That will allow you to put gold in your teeth and bling bling around your neck. And then you can come back in the hood riding expensive cars. But your brothers and sisters are dying on your words. And you are aiding in the conspiracy to exterminate the black male. You got to know that at the highest levels of government, they've plotted our demise.
Oh boy.
I will not go down that way. I choose to fight back. I choose to rise, not fall. I choose to live, not die.
Here's some with you, listen. I got a secret, everybody come to listen. Took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons.
Tricked the people into crime
with rap verses and rhyme. Made it cooler go to jail, then gave niggas time. Well, brainwashed the people with a marketing plan. This brother all around me like he's stalking me, man. With his slogans and his phrases, keeps the masses in their places to accept for extermination like Logan through the mazes. It's in the book of ages, but we never read the pages till Hitler rises up to exterminate the races. Where were all the Christians when we started dropping bombs? Where was Luke, Matthew, Mark and John? They say pray to Christ, but act nothing like him. As they lead the sheep to slaughter, we get crucified just like them. Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. But after global warming, tell me what that shit worth. Not the price of dirt, he got me for my shirt. The emperor has no clothes and Condi dropped his skirt. She can get it in the rear, we should have known that it was near. Osama's just a tool they use to promote their brand of fear.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap with your soul, I doubt it. In these New York Times, listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build the stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News.
I got a secret, everybody come and listen. They took the money out of schools and they got rich building prisons. Atlanta children missing, one man set for lynching. The murders still continue, but no one can't enlist them. What's the price of black when white is valued higher? Who's the last to get the job, first to get the fire? No one gets the blame, truth is just the truth. Most don't have a future, cause most don't know their roots. But they know Flavin Hoops and they think that shit is cute. Like Beyonce in a G-string and Jay-Z in a suit. The Pop Piper with a flute, mommy getting soup. The children's in the street and the dealers about to shoot. The cycle goes around like the cycle going round. Snatching up our babies like the fruit from off the ground. Who tends the garden? Who watches over sheep? The priest is here to raise our souls.
That's just when we sleep.
I tell confessions to a beast. They say God is like the thief who comes in the darkest night to quickly snatch a peep. If I'm my brother's keeper, who's my sister's keep? Some nigga named Sugar Bear with diamonds in his teeth.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets post crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap with your soul, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build the stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News and this white man's world.
try to do the right thing in my life like Mookie, but I'm still a public enemy, so they set me up like Tookie. We should all stand tall like Jamal in the pen, so I call for the fall of Babylon with the pen. You see everything on time like a man they've been. Why they call me black? That's not the color of my skin. And why they call you white if we all born to sin? That sound like a gin out to tempt men. The devil wears a suit, but I can see it in his grin. If Jesus is the word, and the word is on the cross, and the cross is in the club, why so many people lost? Two towers down, everybody like Moss. All patriotic, but what's the final cost? What's the final cost? What's the final cost?
Extra, extra, read all about it. This the daily news for the streets most crowded. Some say I get in too deep when I speak about it. You reap what you sow, I doubt it. And these New York Times listening to the village voice. Killers and gangbangers killing, a killer's choice. I build the stand, the man I am true. Read about me in the Amsterdam News and this white man's world.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We just heard from Hakeem Green. The name of that track is Secrets. Before that, we heard Untapped Potential featuring the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. That was from our brother, friend of the network, Sincere Naquari. Again, he has a new release if he hasn't released it already. We will be uploading some of that music to our Message Music station. A lot of people don't know we got a bunch of stations, you know, and one of those stations that you'll find on Black Talk Radio Network, if you like that type of music, is our station. It's titled Message Music. I believe you can also find it on TuneIn, because I do like music, but I like music with a message. So we appreciate those artists when they incorporate these type of messages in their music. So much, much appreciation to those. Now, I want to get into another topic. I came across this video that somebody has shared, and it's featuring this European. That's how he identifies. I will identify him as that. But he is from the Seattle, Washington area. He's part of a organization of white people called the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. Let me just share a little bit of information about what this organization seeks. I'll tell you what, let me play the video first, then I'll read you what this organization is about. I thought I had linked to it. The link must have got stripped, so let me find it in my bookmarks, and we'll go ahead and give this a play. It's titled Seattle USM Member Goes Viral for White Solidarity with White Power. So pay attention to this man's words, and let's see if he's promoting justice or if he's promoting white supremacy. Go ahead and get that queued up for you. Hopefully an ad won't start, but it probably will. Okay, no, it's not.
What's good, y'all? It's Carl. I've been very, very, very frustrated with Europeans, with people that look like me and who share an ancestral lineage with me. My primary frustration is we've been so severely miseducated, we don't know how to think. And we've been stripped of our ability to use logic and reason. Also, we sit on a pedestal of slavery and colonization, and we sit so high, even those of us who are busting our ass all day, every day, working nonstop, we sit so high on a pedestal of slavery that we can't even see the world for what it truly is. And if we had the gun to our head or the threat of rape at our doorstep every day, we would feel the same sense of urgency that the rest of the world feels, or that colonized peoples who are confined to these artificial borders of the United States feel. So let's be very clear. This land is not the Europeans. It never has been. It never will be. What's going down in Standing Rock, what's going down with this new administration, is a continuation of 600 years of colonial theft. And I think there's only one example I can think of that really illustrates this. I was talking to a 7-year-old in my family a couple weeks ago, and we were actually talking about this very thing, about stealing land from the indigenous people. And the 7-year-old goes, nobody's taking my land. European kid, by the way. Nobody's taking my land. I got a gun. I said, you ain't got no gun. He said, I got a 45. I said, you don't have a 45. He said, no, I got a Nerf gun. I said, okay. Let me break this down for you then. Let's say Lil Ricky, two houses down, comes and steals your Nerf gun. Is that his Nerf gun? He was like, no, it's my Nerf gun. He stole that from me. I was like, word. Well, it's his now, so deal with it. Ricky grows up, has a kid, and gives that Nerf gun to that kid. Now, is it that kid's Nerf gun? He said, no, it's still my Nerf gun. He took it from me. I said, he didn't take it from you. His dad did. He's only known that Nerf gun was his whole life. How could you take that back from him? He's like, nah, it's mine. I want it back. I said, okay, fine. Let's play this out a little bit longer. So Lil Ricky's kid has a kid when he gets older, and he gives him that Nerf gun. Is it still your Nerf gun? He was like, yeah, it's always been my Nerf gun. Just because he passed it along to a different guy doesn't mean that it's not mine. I said, well, then perfect. This isn't our land. It never has been. It never will be. And until we return it, any sort of solidarity that we feel with black and indigenous people is a fucking joke. Unless you're willing to give back what you never earned, you are a opportunist and a liar. And if you are not even willing to admit that this isn't ours in the first place, you're a fool. And I'm not saying this. Maybe I'm saying this because I'm fucking frustrated. And I am, because you guys are better than this. If a 7-year-old can figure out this logic, then y'all can figure this out. And I want more for you. I believe that we have the ability to fucking think. We have the ability to say, oh, shit. Okay, yeah, it's getting hot out here. It's getting very, very hot. There's clearly something wrong. Oh, wait, I'm in the middle of this? Oh, maybe I have some sort of responsibility here. Maybe I have some sort of responsibility. Oh, literally every article of clothing I have, literally every piece of food I eat is stolen? Damn. And the people who are mining these raw materials, who are sowing these goods, who are harvesting these foods, they're not even able to eat these foods? They're not even able to wear clothes or have shoes? You gotta be kidding me, man. None of you are that selfish. I hope none of you are that selfish, man. None of this shit is ours. We gotta give it back. I mean, I was taught that my whole life. How was I raised in a Christian society that taught me, thou shalt not steal? And yet everything we have is stolen, and we're unwilling to give it back. And I understand, you said you didn't. I bought this. I worked hard my whole life to buy this. Sure, you might have worked your entire life. You might have busted your ass. I know I busted my ass to the point that my body has failed me time and time again. What I do also know is that I'm driving a car right now. And as hard as I worked for the car that I drive in, I did not mine any of the raw materials to make this car. I didn't slave away on a rubber plantation so that I could have these wheels, right? And even if I worked in a factory in the U.S., which I've worked in warehouses, but even if I worked in a factory, I got a union job with a pension, with yada yada health insurance, all these other amenities. I might be doing backbreaking work, but it's certainly not like those who are slaving away in mines, who are having the threat of rape and murder at their doorstep all day, every day. So I know I sounded frustrated. Most of you usually probably see me more composed. Fuck it. It's urgent. We have to change our ways right now. This world cannot take us exploiting it any longer. And the peoples of this world will not take us doing this any longer. If you want to build with me more, I'm going to be at the station tonight at 7 o'clock. This is January 25th, just in case you watch this on another day, so don't come the next day. But I'll be at the station tonight with my Uhuru Solidarity comrades. We work under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party to build a new and better world that is not rooted in the slavery and oppression of every single person on this planet, but is rather rooted in self-determination. Every individual, every people's right to determine their own destiny. So Uhuru means freedom. I'm going to leave you with that. Uhuru, y'all. Peace.
All right. So I couldn't catch his name or anything, and that's not important. But I saw this video and I found it to be refreshing that here we have a European identified male telling the truth about slavery. I didn't hear racism, white supremacy, but I believe that white supremacy is, no, it's not that I believe, it's I know that white supremacy came about as a way to continue slavery. That is when racial classifications were the system implemented these racial classifications when they found that they can no longer continue enslaving everybody, and that if we want to keep it going, then we just got to focus on enslaving black people, African descendant people. So I know that's where racial classifications came from. I heard the word slavery used several different times, and he was speaking honestly on this. Now, let me read a little bit about the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. I had heard of them before. I may have even interviewed somebody before. I don't think so. No, I can't. Her first name is Penny. I can't think of her last name, but I've seen her in a number of videos, and I just, you know, I watched the video, that was it. I didn't really look further into the organization. So when I saw this video, I looked further into the organization. So I went to their website, I found their website, I went to the about section, and this is what it says. It says, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement is an organization of white people, so they're self-identifying on here as white people, created by and working directly under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, which leads the Uhuru Movement. The Uhuru Movement is organizing and uniting Africans around the world as one people struggling to liberate Africa and African people everywhere. As the only organization of white people working under the leadership of the African Liberation Movement, USM, again, that stands for Uhuru Solidarity Movement, is a strategic component of the revolutionary movement of African people. Our mission, okay, this is their mission. Our mission is to organize inside the belly of the beast, winning other white people to take a stand in solidarity with the self-defined struggle of African people for liberation, self-determination, and power over their own lives and resources. USM is built on the understanding that the quote-unquote racial gap in the U.S., Europe, and throughout the world has a material basis. The U.S. is built on a foundation of the enslavement of African people and the genocide of the indigenous people. Europe and white populations throughout the world have been built and sustained by colonialism and the continued extraction of resources from Africa. The African People's Socialist Party is in the United States, Canada, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and on the continent of Africa, fighting for African working people to have control over their own resources and lives. The continent of Africa and all its minerals and resources belong to African people and must be used for their benefit, not European and American corporations. That just makes sense. Let me see. It goes on. I don't think I need to read anymore. Let me see. This is a world, a constant imperialist crisis, an unending imperialist war around the world and inside this country against oppressed peoples. The U.S. capitalist economy is in crisis because all around the world, people who have been living for hundreds of years under Western military and economic domination are rising up, saying no to U.S. bred oppression and are taking control of their destinies. You know, this is something that Tando Radio Show focuses on. I shouldn't say focuses on, because he talks about a number of issues, but he has been reporting on the movements on an international global scale of these non-white countries who are dumping U.S. treasuries and are making moves that can only be described as self-determination. No longer it seems that they are fearing what white people gonna do or what the United States is going to do. They're no longer fearing that, it seems, in some of these countries. Now, going to the question of good white people, this is my thoughts on good white people. None exists. Let me say that again. There are no good white people. Now, let me further say this. There are no good people, period. None. There are none. Now, that's a spiritual belief that I hold. I don't suspect or expect or even want anyone to subscribe to what I hold as a spiritual truth. But the Creator says that we all have fallen short, that there are none, quote unquote, good people. And when I take a historical look at white supremacy, at slavery, when I take a look at that issue, I can see clearly, clearly, without a doubt, that these people, the racist enslavers, have not been able to do what they have done without the help of non-white people. So a skin color doesn't make you righteous. A skin color doesn't make you good. As I was having a conversation with somebody else who was talking about Mexican and these people who are standing up to the immigration policies of Donald Trump and what he's doing, banning Muslims, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but this kind of relates to it because people were saying, oh, these people protesting Donald Trump's ban on Muslim countries, and I'm talking about black people because that's who I had the most interactions with, and they were saying, when have Muslims ever tried to help us and all this and that? And I'm saying to myself, does this person not realize that Muslims is not a racial classification under this racist system, that Muslim is a religious designation, and that there are millions of black people who are quote unquote Muslims, and that three other countries that is being targeted with this temporary ban, which I think, you know, by law can only last like 90 days or something like that. Three of those countries are in Africa with predominantly African people, not Arabs, but Africans, black people. And so that, you know, this is where I kind of, I don't want to say fall out because that wouldn't be the right word to describe it, where I would diverge in a difference of opinion. Where I have a difference of opinion with some of these people. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I believe that. The enslavement of any people represents the threat of enslavement of all people. All right? So that's how I approach it. And so I like Malcolm X, who I learned from and draw from the more than anyone else, Malcolm X. He said, I'll unite with anyone who is trying to change this miserable condition that exists on this earth. Now, am I saying we need to run out and partner up with white organizations? And no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. But what I am saying is, I get sick and tired of black people, some black people, let me put it that way, some black people trying to dictate to other black people about who they should work with. Okay? Because let me tell you this, all black people ain't trying to practice justice. They ain't all trying to stop slavery, and they ain't all trying to overthrow the system. Because many of them are dependent on the system. When we look at the enslavement of black people in this country, many of those guards are black. Many of those wardens, you know, quite a few I have reported on through New Abolitionist Radio, are black. And they don't care about your skin color. All they know is you a slave on their plantation, and they gonna do their job. And so then we got people that's dependent on this system. They don't want to see it end. They don't want to see it crumble because they found their little comfortable spot in it, and they ain't trying to change it. They ain't trying to do nothing to change their standard of living. And they'll try to rationalize it and do all this and that. When I came to the realization, because of Malcolm X when I was in the military, of my role in spreading racism and white supremacy as a soldier. Yeah, I call myself, I was a race soldier for white supremacy when I was in the military. Okay. I wasn't in the military spreading democracy around the world and promoting justice. No, I was there following orders of white supremacists. And I did my job, and I did my job very well. But during that period, when I was in the Gulf War, I was reading Malcolm X's biography, and he made me see what my role was in it, was in the system. So what I'm saying is, I don't think that it is constructive to antagonize white people like this and call them good, because ain't nobody good. Ain't no good white people, ain't no good black people, ain't no good people, period. So, with that understanding, all I care about is what you're promoting. Are you promoting justice or injustice? That's all that should matter. That's all that should matter. And then, according to some counter-racist teachings, black people can't end the system of racism and white supremacy. According to them, they can't. I have a differing opinion on that. But if you take that view that only white people can end the system of racism and white supremacy, why would you want to antagonize white people like this white man? Why would you want to antagonize them? What, wouldn't you want them to confront the races in their family? That's what I want them to do. I think that's a good example, and they need to be showcased for other white people, not for black people. So, you know, I like the charlatans out there. What's that one guy named that attacked me for pointing out that he was a racist and he thinks that racist people have a constitutional right to call black people niggers in the street? Tim Wise. Okay, Tim Wise, who is he talking to? He talking to black people. Now, for some reason, black people like to pay money to go hear this dude speak about racism and white supremacy. I don't know what that's about, okay? But I'm not talking about people like him. I think he is a race hustler, and he's profiting from the system. I don't think that he's really interested in overthrowing the system. I have never heard him speak like this. I don't hear Tim Wise saying, we got to give up the land. None of this is ours. We got to give it up. I don't hear him telling people that. Okay? So, you know, but in terms of people like this working under the leadership of a black organization, I ain't got a problem with it. I think they should be showcased. And you probably don't see these people on TV because they don't want other white people hearing white people talking so honestly about what how they got what they have and telling them they need to give it up. People like this need to be showcased. I'm not one of those people that believe that what's done to us, we can't flip it around and do it to them. Okay? These are human beings just like you are a human being. They don't got no kind of special magical powers, okay, that is keeping them on top. We are keeping them on top. That's just my opinion. When I look through history, when I study the Revolutionary War, when I study the War 1812, when I study the Spanish-American War, when I study not the Civil War, that's the only war that we fought in where we were trying to get something for ourselves, but we got terribly tricked. But then World War I, World War II, the Indian Wars that the Buffalo Soldier fought on behalf of white supremacy, taking the land of the indigenous folks here. Okay, so when I studied this, I was like, darn, it seems like we ever present in everything that they done, in everything that they do. When I looked at President Obama pinning a medal on this black naval admiral, it was a black woman, for what they did in Libya, I'm like, see, that's another example. This, here's a black person giving another black person a medal for killing black people in Africa for white supremacy, to keep white supremacy on top. So when I see these things, I say, you know what? Ain't nobody good. It's not a matter of good white people. It ain't a matter of a good this or good that. Because evil comes in many forms. It comes in many forms. And I'm just tired of excuses, because those excuses are not moving us forward. Like I heard an excuse today. I heard somebody say, well, you know, black people just brainwashed and they tricked and all this and that, and that's why we do those things. And I'm like, so you think black people are stupid and dumb and easily manipulated and tricked? Is that what you're telling me? I'm like, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that black people are so inferior that, you know, they could just work us like a sock puppet or something like that. No, we are choosing. We are choosing to aid this system of racism and white supremacy. And we don't have to participate. We don't. We can choose not to participate. And that's when I say, when all black people decide that they not going to participate, we're not going to work as wardens on plantation, we're not going to work as slave catchers, we're not going to work as plantation guards, we're not going to join the military and attack non-white countries and kill non-white people for the benefit of who? Not us. Because all we have done in these hundreds of years to help them build this empire, how have we benefit from it? They didn't build this empire by themselves. And we need to be brutal, just like we asking white people to be brutally honest. We need to be brutally honest and acknowledge our role in it. But I've always held the belief, like the old saying goes, all skin folk ain't kin folk. And that is how they destroyed many of our movements, is through black people working for white supremacy to infiltrate our organizations and snitch on us and set us up for the prison plantation or for assassination. So those are my thoughts. I do think that this person, this organization, as long as they are speaking honestly in the manner that he was speaking, that they need to be showcased and set up as an example for other white people to follow. White people that's listening, I know y'all always listening. I know y'all out there, all right? This is what we need y'all to do. We need y'all, if y'all claim that y'all not racist, then we need more than just a claim of not being a racist. We need y'all to confront the racist in your family. Okay, that's what we need to do. Rob, did you have a question or comment you wanted to share?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
I had a few observations from the clip. I'm glad you actually brought up Tim Wise. That's who this gentleman kind of put me in mind of when I heard him. So I'm in agreement with what you're saying. I'm not opposed to that in any way. The observation that I had about him speaking was that it sounded like he was code switching. What I mean by that is you might hear somebody say, like, oh, he talking white, or that white person is talking black. And I guess on a college level, they call it code switching, meaning you basically kind of assimilate and talk like who you around. And I wonder if he talks like that when he's around other white people, specifically more professional type of white people. And I would point to a professor by the name of Zach Casey that said he said that white
you have to learn how to become white, and to be white is to be a white supremacist. And then I would also point to Jane Elliott, who said, and this is a white female, older white female, she said that if a white person is not racist, then they fell asleep in civics class. And I struggle with, should I work with white people, like, and not in the manner of like having a job or something like that, but in a manner of networking, kind of like
right, right. I understand.
Of. And the last piece that I would add is I struggle with it, right? And the observation that I had, Donald Trump been on TV all day, and
I expect that to be the norm. I think it's going to be wall-to-wall coverage as long as he in that office, because they making a lot of money off of him.
Right, check it out. So I'm seeing him, and, you know, the sound down, because I got, you know, the program playing and everything, but he's signing an order or whatever, whatever. But what I see from, quote-unquote, the people that's holding power is that they kind of stick with their group, especially, I guess, President Obama would be a perfect example, because he, I guess it was more whites in his cabinet or whatever, but Mr. Trump is kind of making it clear that he is for his people, and I see that same pattern with people that classify themselves as white. Like if I go to an establishment, you know, it's pretty much all white people. an observation that I had from this morning, I go to Starbucks every day. I kind of hang out there, be chilling. It's a few black females that work in there. And I was talking to one today, and she told me that she was getting transferred to a different location, which is the location that's known as the black location in Milwaukee. And she said she was getting transferred because she was asking for more hours. And that's it. Won't take up too much time.
All right. Appreciate those observations and sharing. It would be, obviously, I can't answer that. That's the first time I saw him. I don't know how he normally speaks. But I say this, though, about that. I do that sometimes. It depends on who I'm talking to and who my audience is and what I'm trying to accomplish. I will not, you know, go in. When I was working in corporate America, I was not speaking like how you hear me speak on this radio program. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't using slang or nothing like that. I tried to speak proper English to the best of my ability. You know, that's pretty hard for me being a country boy. So, but yeah, it would be interesting to know if that is his regular manner of speaking. Now, this is the thing that I also note. Oh, but in your terms, where you were saying, Rob, that you struggle to, you know, network with white people and what have you, that's a good thing, man. You should be cautious of them. Okay, don't get me wrong. You should be cautious, and you should not just automatically trust anybody. Okay, and that's even including black people. Rob, I don't trust nobody, man. I don't trust anyone. Okay, I trust Max. I trust people that I know personally that I have worked with over the years. But then, you know, who knows how far you can trust anyone, because as soon as the screws get put to them, they might give you up. I'm not saying Max would do that. I think Max would rather die than snitch on Scotty. At least I hope. But you know what I'm saying? We have to be cautious about whoever we're dealing with, because COINTELPRO was very effective because of what? They use black agents. And so we let our guards down. So I'm just saying we should be cautious of anybody, everyone. But now, what I like about this organization is they're not targeting black people. Tim Wise targets black people. He know black people want to hear him talk like that, and they'll pay good money and they'll invite him to these universities and talk like that. But I peeped his game. I think I did a good job exposing him, or he wouldn't attack me in the manner that he attacked me. I must have hit a nerve, as they say. Okay, but I don't seem to be getting that from this organization. But again, I could be wrong. I've only heard a couple of these people that's involved in this organization, but in their mission, they're not talking about working with black people. They're talking about working with white people and targeting white people to confront racism. So I think there's a distinction there between what they're doing and what Tim Wise is doing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's a keen observation. And then just to add on to that, following the logic of Mr. Millie Fuller, when he says that the money comes from the white supremacists, whether directly or indirectly, they print the money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, either way, you're getting it from them anyway. So just to, you know, add as far as like, networking with a person who, whatever racial classification they have.
If somebody can help you get a job, you know, or whatever it is that you need addressed, or I'm not going to be too much looking at their skin color, you know what I'm saying? I'm be like, okay, you said I can get a job over here. Can I put you down as a reference? And I'm going and I'm applying for the job. So yeah, that's how I look at that. The last thing, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time on this. Donald Trump and this quote unquote Muslim ban. It's only supposed to be temporary, like a 90-day ban. It's a ban on quote unquote Muslims coming from 6 different countries, and of those 6, 3 are located in Africa. Now, this is my observation from this ban. And I haven't really heard anybody ask this question, so I'm putting a question out there. Why isn't Saudi Arabia on this ban, Trump administration? If anybody out there, you know, got a line into the White House, y'all call Donald Trump and ask him why Saudi Arabia ain't on this list of banned countries, since y'all supposed to be trying to address terrorism, because it is my understanding that y'all had a 9/11 commission and an official inquiry, and I think y'all said something like 16 of the 19 hijackers, or however many it was, came from Saudi Arabia, and there is a lawsuit right now by the victims' families citing redacted information from the government that Saudi Arabia finance some of them hijackers. So my question is, if that's what the official view is of the U.S. government, why isn't Saudi Arabia on this list?
Excellent question.
You would think they would be number one, but they're not on it, because this isn't to address terrorism. Okay, because if it was to address terrorism, then of course they're not going to ban themselves. And I feel like the United States is the great, you know, to borrow, to paraphrase what MLK said, I think the United States is the greatest purveyor of terrorism on the planet, whether that be terrorism internationally or here domestically. So, yeah, if we want to address terrorism, I don't think that, you know, they're looking at the right people. They need to be looking inwardly if they really want to address terrorism. But since this is dealing, you know, this particular story is dealing with Muslims or Muslim countries, I think Saudi Arabia should be on there. And the fact that they're not on there should tell you that they're not really trying to stop terrorism. It's about something else. What that something else is, I don't have a clue about. It requires further research. But I suspect that it all has to do with practicing racism. Okay? I know that for a fact. But what specifically are they trying to accomplish with this ban? I don't know. This could just be red meat for the mindless masses that threw their support behind him. okay, that you know, that's what they wanted. So he just giving them what they want, but they probably ain't asking a question about why isn't Saudi Arabia on this list when they quote unquote ran these planes up into the towers. Why you giving them political cover? So yeah, that's a question that I don't see anybody in mainstream media asking. All right, so that is my program. Before we close out, Rob, did you want to leave the listeners with anything?
Man, what your your Highness say on new abolitionists, freedom to the abolitionists, and freedom where I go?
It goes peace, oppressors. peace to the abolitionists, death to the oppressor.
Death to the oppressors. Thank you. Peace.
All right. Peace. Thank you for tuning in to Black Talk Radio News. Again, this is our new time because I'm trying to help everyone I can in terms of independent black media and also expand our network and just get our messages out there. So I had to cut back to once a week, and that is on Saturdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, although I am still writing and producing short podcasts. I just produced a podcast. I interviewed Carl Dix of the refusefascism.org. He had just been arrested the day before calling Jeff Sessions a racist during the confirmation hearings for the next attorney general. So check out that interview. It was only supposed to be 15 minutes, but it turned into 45 minutes. It was a lot discussed, so please check out that interview again. That's with Carl Dix of the refusefascism.org. All right, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., although we could say that, and rightly say, the whole planet is a battlefield, and that they are still enslaving people every day, and that you need to become codified. You need to develop set of behaviors that will lessen the possibility that you're going to be their next victim. There are no guarantees. There's no magic bullet. You know, you just got to do the best that you can. But I will say this, we cannot keep mounting a passive resistance to slavery and racism. Okay. We've been passive for far too long. It's going to take more of that. It's going to take more than passive resistance. It's going to take some active resistance. So I hope that people that have the resources to attend the March on Washington on August the 19th to end slavery in this country. I hope that you will attend. If you can attend, please support it the best way that you can. With that said, peace and blessings to all. I'm out.
The organizer has ended this Uber conference. Goodbye.